This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer!
That was for Brittany. She's not in today. A little under the weather, but she'll be back rocking and rolling next Sunday. This segment of ours brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. If you got a business like a little market, grocery store, liquor store, and you're looking for a cashier, have I got an opportunity for you? How about point of sale cashiers? In other words, no people, just equipment. For the price of a cash register, you can get Southwest Point of Sale to come out to your business, take a look. And man, for the price of a cash register, like I said, they could hook you up. Call them at 800-540-2149. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ, and you'll get 24-hour, 7-day-a-week technical service. You'll get it all. Equipment, you get a barcode reader, cash box printer, and like I said, the best part of the deal is service 24/7. Black Forest Motorsports, if you got a Porsche, BMW, or Mini, then that's the place you need to be. It's a great dealer alternative. Go to blackforestautomotive.com, blackforestautomotive.com. Well, guess what? AI is slipping into Formula E racing. I knew it was coming, but I've got Sanjay Cervantava from Gen Parts. He's the chief digital strategist, and he's going to tell you all about it. Take a listen.
All right, folks. Well, you know, I've got a little bit of a different interview today for you, and it's titled How Artificial Intelligence in Formula E Racing Can Be Applied to Business Practices. Now, if you don't know what Formula E is, it's motorsports with a battery power, not using gasoline engines. And we're talking to the chief digital strategist from Genpax, Sanjay Cervantava, and he is online, and he's going to tell us what they've been doing over at Genpax. How you doing, sir?
I'm well, Dave. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So, when I seen e-racing come into the marketplace, I thought to myself, well, there's got to be more to it than just, you know, racing without a gas engine. So it sounds like you guys have been working on the alternative.
That's exactly right, Dave. There is a lot more to e-racing than what you just said. It's primarily about two things. It's about innovating on the racetrack and building the modules and the AI componentry that we're all going to be using in a few years from now in the cars you and I drive. And then it's actually about raising awareness in the public when you see these cars going at these incredible speeds on the roads that you and I drive in downtown locations we live in. And then you look at that and you say, well, there is an alternative. Maybe it is for me. Maybe I can also drive one day. We know the future is all electric, and that's what e-racing is about.
Well, without a doubt. And you know what's really funny, Sanjay? Motorsports has always been the innovator. Right back to 1903 with Barney Oldfield, they were the ones that came up with a rear-view mirror. They were the ones that came up with seatbelt. So motorsports has always been deeply embedded in the future of bringing us from point A to point B.
That's exactly right. And even if you kind of come into, you know, come into today, the electric world architecture, the 800 volt architecture that we first innovated on the racing circuit, you know, a few years ago now, is already showing up in consumer cars that you and I drive. I think two manufacturers have already adopted it, and obviously it increases the battery capacity and speed with it charges. And so it's the innovations on the racetrack that, and really the work we're doing is around the artificial intelligence components. It's actually about understanding all the data, being able to build the data fabric to collect all of that and be able to harvest it the right way. And then use that to make driving more efficient, to make it more safe, to make it more predictable. And they're the very components eventually that'll transcend racing and come into the cars that you and I drive. So it is very, very exciting to be part of this.
And you're on the cutting edge, but you know as well as I do, convincing a consumer, you know, to adopt this this idea is going to take work. And you've only got probably one or two shots at it, you know, when you introduce it to the consumer that it works. Not saying that you can't do it. It's just that you've got to do, like, for example, the interview I just did before you was with Ford Motor Company bringing the Ford Lightning E all-electric pickup truck to law enforcement. So that's a challenge, trying to convince law enforcement that you could live with an electric vehicle, but it makes all the sense in the world. And I think what you're doing is exactly the same thing. And I like the fact that you're not basically shoving it down anybody's throat. You're taking time out of your day to explain to the listeners what the future has to give and how we're going to get there and how companies like Genpax are going to work with you to get to that end result.
So that's exactly right, Dave. I mean, what is super exciting about the work we're doing here is that we're addressing the long arc of sustainability, of carbon intensity, of climate change. But we're doing this in short steps that are measurable, that we can look at, that we can appreciate, and that we can enjoy. So, for instance, the work we do, and by the way, when you think about a racing car, think about all of the telemetry on the car, because you're essentially getting all of these signals from different parts of the car. Think about all the environmental conditions. We look at friction on the road. We look at temperature. We look at humidity. We look at rainfall. You know, we'll try and simulate all of those conditions so that our drivers can actually drive on the exact same street in a simulator. And when you take that turn on that curve, you want to feel exactly the same bump that you'll feel on your steering wheel. So all of that data comes in. It's really powerful. And then we apply artificial intelligence to harvest all that to be able to extract meaningful insights from there and then be able to translate that. That's what we do on a day-to-day basis. But what does that all mean? It means that our batteries are more efficient and it gives our drivers better performance over a longer period of time. It means that they are safer around these racing circuits with all of the other drivers that are driving at these incredible speeds. And it means that these little modules, these algorithms that we're building today, they're the very same algorithms that eventually will transcend the work we do today. And it is going to be part of cars that you and I drive. And so when you look at that and you see the innovation that's happening on the racetrack, and then you convert it into what it means for us, you know, it makes it real, it makes it affordable, it makes it efficient, it makes it a real alternative for you and I. And that's the beauty of the sport.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think it's exciting. I think not only Formula E racing, but, you know, there's off-road racing in the same vein. And I think all of that is everything you need to do your job, because that's your test track. That's where you get your R&D. That's where you decide what you're going to do and what you're not going to do.
Well, you know, we are a professional services firm, and we help large corporations around the world drive digital transformation. And so as much as I'd like to be in this, I don't spend all my day just on this. In other words, we spend time with large corporations. And one of the things that's really exciting about racing, you know, you look at what we're learning from this innovative work we're doing. The first thing that comes out is most corporations we work with, and you'll know this, run in an annual cycle, and they'll put in a set of changes, and you'll think through and implement all these digital capability, and then you'll run it for the year, and you'll see what the performance is. In the race, that year in a corporation's life is actually 45 minutes in a race. And what I mean by that is we will do all of the analytics, all the data fabric, all the artificial intelligence work. We'll come with a series of insights that will inform our drivers to perform better, and they'll do so in the race that is 45 minutes, roughly so. At the end of the race, we'll learn from what happened in the race. We'll get the data off of those telemetry components to be able to analyze how to do it much better next time. And by the time you get to the next race, you are in an entirely new business cycle. You know, we've gone from so the interesting thing about race e-racing is that all of the teams race the same chassis. They race the same battery. And the idea there is, you know, we want to innovate on things that will come into the cars you and I will drive, changing the chassis and getting better aerodynamics beyond what we have today isn't really going to translate. You and I will never drive in a car that looks like that. And so the sport is all about constraining the innovation to areas that we can improve. So in many ways, I think about this as the hardware is exactly the same. It's across the cars in a race, and it's in a race from the start of the season to the end of the season. But we'll start with a car at the start of the season, and by the end of the season, that same car will perform much faster, much better, much more efficiently. The hardware is exactly the same. The software changes every single time. And so that's the beauty, right? You're able to iterate at speed. You're able to innovate at velocity. You're able to learn and then immediately apply it back. And the game in artificial intelligence is just that. It's about tuning the algorithms. It's about adapting it to the environments you're in. It's about exposing it to different use cases, from high temperatures to high rainfall and everything in the between. So the AI modules see enough of a diversity of the use cases you and I will drive in, so they're more predictable, they're more accurate, they're more safe. And that's the work we do. And so we learn a lot from what we do in racing and actually apply it to the rest of the business that we run. And we take it to large corporations. We help them think through data fabrics and setting up a data architecture, which we've done for racing. We help them think through analytics and insights and augmented intelligence and really then artificial intelligence. And many of the lessons we're learning around small, agile, iterative steps, which is what we have to do in racing, are now applying across large corporations. It translates into so much more than just the work we do in racing.
Right. And it could all be done with a laptop.
Well, you know, it can all be seen using a laptop, but, you know, in the back of it, we have, compute servers and cloud capability.
Well, I'm coming from the motorsport community, you know, where you got toolboxes as big as a house and you've got all this equipment and everything. And now you can sit down with a laptop and change the configuration of a Formula E race car, you know, without touching a wrench on it, which I think is amazing.
Sanjay,
this has been a great interview. I definitely, I'll talk to Sherry because I want to stay in touch with you, and I'm sure my listeners will as well, just to see how this advancement goes. I know we don't talk about future product, but I guess the best way to do it is just keep bugging you about every 6 months and see where you're at.
Please do. And for you and your audiences, if you get a chance, please tune in to the next set of races that are coming up. It'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It's a blast. All right, sir. Thank you very much and have a wonderful week.
Good day to you.
All right, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Inventory is starting to come in. Used cars are starting to come in. Service department will work on any car in your garage. And it's family-owned and operated. How bad could that be? All right, we got, hopefully, we got the man on the line. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. About yourself?
So you were looking for two segments today? You didn't tell me ahead of time. I could have... accommodated
Brittany,
you.
Brittany was sick, and she was like, can you fill in?
Oh, you were just helping out. What a guy.
I was like, I can fill in too, but then I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling good at all. I've been sick for the last couple of days.
What?
I'm like, I don't want to go in there and get you sick now, and everyone, you know.
And I'm older than dirt.
Hey, dish.
And I'm older than dirt. Hey, did you see Marcy on KUSI the other morning?
I reeled it in a little bit too late, just the end of the segment. I was hoping you're going to
rebroadcast
it. Someone's going to rebroadcast it. Yeah, because I'm sure it probably went great.
Oh, it really did. And we promoted the you-know-what out of Barona Speedway, brother, let me tell you.
Well, she's just an awesome person. Just, I mean, a racing realtor in a car.
How could she be second? How could she be second? It's her first year.
I thought she was leading points, but maybe is she second in points?
Well, that's what she said, but who knows? I was blown away
after last race, but I mean, like it's incredible that you could just pick up the car and go with that.
I know, so. Isn't that crazy? Hey, did you ever ask her how the roof got wrinkled?
No,
she loaned it to one of their really good friends just to take it out on the track during practice, and he hit a berm and rolled it over on his roof. I know.
I was talking to her like last race, and she goes, "Yeah, front end was broken on the car. We didn't even know it." They came out. We had that big 2-day race.
Yeah.
She broke the front end on the first day on Friday. And she goes, we limped through on Saturday and finished like second or third. finished, but she goes, the car was just, the shock was gone, strut was gone on her, or something like that. It was just bottoming out.
Isn't that?
So they had to fix all that.
Isn't that? All right, so hey, we I don't think we were able to chat with you last Sunday. So did you have some some results that you wanted to chat about?
Yeah, well, from the race results from 8-6, 22, it was a great night of racing. That was our $1,000 to win for our dwarf cars. Start off with our junior drivers. Gage Baldwin out of Lakeside got a main event win. Cody Isabella out of Santee in a Sportsman mini dwarf got a main event win. Gage Baldwin was in a junior sprint. Mini Dwarf Masters, Zayden Haynes got a main event win out of Yuma, Arizona. On to the big track, IMCA Street Stock / Stock Cars. Billy Baldwin held off Brian Fitzgibbons. Man, that was a good run. Billy Baldwin was out front the whole time, and Brian Fitzgibbons had to start in the back and work his way up. And I just couldn't make the pass. Baldwin was really strong and held him off. It was a good battle on that one. on to our dwarf car main event. We had like 21 cars show up for $1,000, a really cool first place trophy, and I autographed and it's a painted guitar was to the winner. And I talked to Darren Brown at the beginning of the ring. I'm like, man, you showed up. Who else is going to, you know, have a chance? He goes, well, I heard about the guitar. He goes, I wasn't going to really show up because, you know, it's just a race. But when they threw in the guitar, he goes, I came here just to win the guitar. So at the end of the night, Darren Brown got a main event win. Mike DeBison was second. So that was a good, strong event for them. And then to our IMCA Northern Sport Mods, Jake Triska, first main event win in a big car. He's been racing since he's been a junior driver. He goes, the last one I had was when he was in his junior sprint, like a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool to see that in the sport mod, pure stocks. Jason Aldridge got a main event win. And then let's see what's our sport compacts. Chris Neamy got a main event win. And I think that was the night. Mm-hmm. It was really, really good. Next race coming up, we're looking at the 20th. It's going to be next weekend. And it's going to be IMCA Modifieds, IMCA Sport Mods, IMCA Sport Compacts, IMCA Hobby Stocks, Dwarf Cars, Pony Stocks. SoCal Mowers are on the list to be there. I'm not sure if they're going to be. I know their class president is having some problems, some family problems.
Mm-hmm.
His wife is sick, so he might be taking some time off.
Mm-hmm.
Junior Sprints and Mini Dwarfs, and then the race after that on the 3rd. Let's see, that's September 3rd, Pure Stocks, there's a mention, Pure Stocks, $1,000 to win. So might be a good night there for them if we have a good showing. They've been strong. Like we have several groups that just, you know, show up. Dwarf cars are a good, strong division. IMC Sport Compacts are a good, strong division. I mean, we had 15 of them last time.
Wow.
There's a couple of the divisions that are just really good this year. I mean, they just strong showing. The Pure Stocks is one of those. They always have a minimum of 12 to 16 cars that always show up.
Mm.
And same thing with the Sport Compacts. Same thing with, you know, the Dwarf cars. Modifieds are a real good division to watch. I mean, they're just really good, strong, fast cars. But sometimes you might have 7. Sometimes you might have, you know, 18. It's hit or miss, but for overall averages, there are some classes that just really, they average out really well, and they're a good class to watch.
Mm. What else you got?
I don't know. I don't, just,
well,
just,
while you're thinking, days. So I had, when we had Marcy on, I was talking to the girl reporter who's the owner's daughter, and we were mentioning, you know, racing TV, you know, TV, you know, celebrities out at Barona. And I says, then I got to thinking, we ought to do an all girls, you know, get 4 girls from KUSI, 4 girls from 8, 4 girls from 10, 39 and all that, and run them, you know, once a week, and then have a final at the end of the year. So I'm going to go after the owner. And this time I'm going to ask permission. The last time I didn't ask permission and he freaked out because of, well, the liability, you know, of all that.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be fun if we got just girls, 4 from each?
Trisha was already saying, like, hey, let's get everyone back out there again.
I know. But I had that issue
because
I didn't ask. So, but I will do, I'll set it all up. I'll go to all the stations. I figure four girls will get four compacts, nothing too fast or scary. And, do it, like during intermission or whatever you want to do it. And then at the end of the year, then we'll get the four, the winners of the four or of the five or six, how many TV stations I can get, and then have a runoff, give a really nice trophy. And I tell you, man, every station will talk about Barona like crazy, and people will come out. So that's my new game plan. I'm going after it again.
I think to this day, Paul Rudy is still talking about his.
Yes.
And, who is the guy who's right? I just saw him this morning. Mark Mathis.
Mark Mathis.
I'm sure. Mark Mathis is still crazy about how fun that was.
I know.
He got in a car, and it was like one of the best times he's ever had. So,
I know.
And if we had enough, if you had enough people, you could do a process of elimination, a race down to the best. Like you'd put four people from one station, the winner from that one advances.
That's what we're gonna do.
From another station, then.
Well, see, that's what I want to do. The first, say, this Saturday is KUSI. And then the next time you race is Channel 8. Then the next time you race is Channel 10. Then 39, and then, Fox, and then CW. And then the winners of each one of those will have a runoff.
Overall.
Yeah. And, go out, get a, I'll sponsor the trophy. I don't care. Get a really nice, really nice trophy, kind of like the guitar thing. But I got Lauren Finney wants to do it. I've already got the girls from KUSI that want to do it. And Lauren, she's been beating me up. How come the boys got to do it? How come the girls get? All right. Give me a break. But I got to go. This time I got to go talk to the owner. So I don't get myself in hot water.
Contract to make sure it's okay.
That's at least just let him know. Because I think then what they'd have to do is they'll have to get a, just get them to sign off. Get them to sign off.
Entertainment waiver.
Yeah, or whatever you call that silly thing. So do you have COVID or are you just sick?
I just sick. I don't know. I think my daughter got a cold or something. I've been fighting it for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't that funny how you get sick and that's the first thing you think of?
Well, it's the weather, too. I mean, it's so hot out, and then I sleep in the middle of the night, and it's like freezing. I wake up in the middle of the night, it's freezing cold. So you go hot to cold all day.
Yeah, you just got to
the air conditioning all day, when I'm at work, and then so you're not getting from being cold to hot to cold.
You're getting old, buddy. I hate to tell you.
Hey, I usually am pretty good about not getting sick.
I know, me either.
You can never avoid it all year round.
That's right. All right, buddy. Well, hey, go curl back up on the couch. Great talking to you, and I'm going to try to get out there and see you on the 20th.
Well, hopefully so. We're going to be excited. We're ready to go.
All right. Take care, buddy, and be safe. Barona Speedway. Dirt Dude, the voice, right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. This segment's brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. If you've never been to Paris Auto Speedway, you are totally missing out. It was one amazing racetrack. And if you like dirt, you're going to love Paris. If you've never been to dirt, you're really going to like Paris Auto Speedway. And we've got Scott DeLosio on the line. He is the infamous announcer of Paris Auto Speedway. And nobody keeps you up to date on what's going on at the track unless you're listening to Scott. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Trying to escape the heat up here today.
Turn the AC on.
Yeah, I'm in my office locked in here with the three dogs.
I was just going to say, if the dogs aren't in there with you, you're going to be in serious trouble.
Yeah. I mean, they can be out in the house, but...
they'd rather be with you.
Keep them back here in the office.
So you got something pretty exciting coming up?
Yeah, we have... last night we had some excitement. I don't know if you guys down there were aware of that railroad car that was leaking the chemicals they make styrene with.
What? No, I didn't hear about this.
Oh, it started Thursday. Heard it Thursday night, and I didn't pay much attention to it. Well, I woke up on Friday morning, and it's like, well, this could be serious. It was leaking whatever the chemical is, and I forget the name of it.
Yeah.
But they had shut down the freeway by the racetrack, which was causing a tremendous problem. This whole thing was probably about 3 miles away from the track. They were evacuating the neighborhoods around there, so we, up until yesterday morning, did not know if we were going to race last night. And it was one of those deals where you know, they finally, late Friday night, they did reopen the freeway, said everything was safe. You know, a lot of people don't watch the news on Saturdays.
Right.
And we were expecting, this ain't going to be a very good night. And when I left, I live like 36 miles from the racetrack. And I was dreading that there was going to be a lot of traffic if that situation was resolved and we'd have to take an alternate route. Well, it was resolved. And it takes me normally about 50 minutes to get to the track. There was no traffic. So the people watched the news on Friday. Apparently were scared to go out on Saturday because there was absolutely no traffic. I got there in a half hour. And as the gates open, you know, as people were trickling in, and we had the autograph session before, and Don and I were looking at each other, it's like, oh, this could be a bad night because there was hardly anybody there. Man, it got to be 7 o'clock, and people came from every direction. We had a great crowd. You know, it's just, I guess a lot of it was people escaping the heat because it was like 105 yesterday.
Was it really? Yeah, but doesn't it? It cools off pretty good at the track once the sun goes down.
Normally, yes. Yesterday,
Not so much.
Came back in the press box, and it was about 8 or 8:30 because it's still 81 degrees out there.
Wow.
Which, you know, when it's 107, that's not too bad when you think 81.
Yeah.
But it was warmer than it normally is. So it ended up being a great night, a big crowd. Night of Destruction didn't disappoint. It was pretty wild. So that worked out great.
Fantastic. That is awesome. Now, I didn't even hear about the train, but that's...
Yeah, that was the big news here in the L.A. area because they were just predicting how bad the traffic was going to be. And the consequences, if that thing blew up...
Oh, my.
The chemical was supposed to be stored or kept at 85 degrees. And with the heat and it had been parked out there, apparently the refrigeration system on the tanker car failed. And they weren't going near it. They were measuring it from a drone, and they were saying at one point it was up to 350 degrees.
Wow, that's
so
amazing.
They weren't letting anybody near that car.
So it was about, what'd you say, 3 miles away?
A little over 3 miles. It was just before the exit Ramona Expressway that you get off to get it to the track.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's close.
Yeah.
But it didn't affect the racing. You had a good time. How'd the anything exciting happen in the Night of Destruction?
Come on now, it's Night of Destruction. Give me a break. exciting and insane. I guess you put those both together when you talk about Night of Destruction. They tore up some stuff last night. So that's what that crowd is there to see.
Yeah. No, I mean it's hello, you know, Joey Chitwood. Yeah. You know, you could name all of the promoters that figured it out, you know, that, hey, these people want to see rollovers. These people want to see people banging into each other. So,
right. And, you know, it's one of those deals. You put a regular race fan out there and they're not going to like it.
Well, I was just going to ask you that because you know your fans pretty well. I mean, you sit up there and you pretty much know who's coming and who's not coming. Is it, would you say that this group is a completely different group of people, or are your regulars showing up too?
Just guessing. They're probably 85% of the people who come to Night of Destruction don't come to any other event.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
I mean, it's an extremely young crowd too.
Really?
You know, it's when we were doing the candy giveaways with the sprint cars.
Right.
And we've been doing some other stuff where we haven't been able to do that as much this year. We're going to start it again, I think, in September or October. We'll be back to that. But we noticed when we did that, the age of the crowd of the sprint cars went down.
Hmm.
You know, a lot younger people with their kids. So, it's a totally different deal, totally different group of people. You know, same, probably a few more of the stock car crowds coming to Night of Destruction, but still it's not a lot of them either. It's just a totally different group of people.
But you know, that's really good because you get your regulars and the regulars talk to their friends, and then you get the Night of Destruction crowd and they talk to their friends. So you actually kind of get a double dip of attendance because you never know from each group who's going to come to the next big race.
Yeah. You know, it's a specialized show, and you talk to people around the country, and that's racetracks, their biggest nights nowadays,
right,
are when they have their night of destruction. The track I grew up at, which has been struggling with crowds for the last couple of years, they run a school bus figure eight show every so often, and it's jam-packed. You know, the regular racing show out back there, it's not doing it anymore. They run the school bus figure eight, and it's packed to the gills.
Yeah. The only downside to that is finding vehicles because, you know, let's face it, they don't call it Night of Destruction for nothing because once they wad them up, it's a rare chance they get to do it again.
Well, you know, our guys guys and gals, we got a lot of girls do it too. They seem to keep coming back with different cars when they waste them.
Wow. That's amazing. You know,
I mean, for a mini stock Night of Destruction, like we tell people, it's like drive around your neighborhood. You're going to see some mini stock or compact car.
Yeah.
It's probably for sale for $700-800.
Yeah.
And you're not pouring out, you know, there's no rules except safety rules. So if you don't want to put a bunch of money in it, you don't have to.
Wow. Yeah. Rattle can it or throw some decals on it or. And there's always sponsors, you know, that wrap things and what have you. So, yeah, I just had one of our girls, she's a realtor, and it's her first season at Barona, and she's in second place in the running. And it's a pure white Chevy Cavalier, just beat to you-know-what with red lettering, and, yeah, she loves it.
Cool. We're switching gears this Saturday night. You know, Chris Holt talked to you a couple weeks ago. A few weeks ago, it's a California Racers Hall of Fame night. It's the USAC CRA Sprint Cars. The IMCA Modifieds are there, along with the past senior and young gun sprints. And through the donations of people from around the country, I mean, it's huge money going out on regular night qualifying. I'm not sure the exact total right now. The fastest qualifier in the sprint cars is going to get a minimum of $1,000 for two laps. We have a trophy dash. It's going to pay $2,000 to win, $1,000 per second, I think $700 for third, $300 for fourth. That's 12 laps. There's money spread into the heat races. And in the main event, there's over $5,000 of lap money for the show. So it's possible if somebody swept the show,
wow,
they walked away with over $11,000.
What? You're kidding. Oh, that place is going to be packed. Hey, Brittany's home. She unfortunately got COVID last week, but she's on the men's. So she just texted me for you. Did the mini stock that was for sale survive last night?
He didn't show up.
Ah.
He didn't show up. That's Jeff Dyer, the sprint car driver.
Yeah.
I'm out right now.
I don't know why, but
I think he had to work. I talked to him earlier in the week. Yeah, work on what?
I think Brittany's thinking about buying that car.
It's still for sale. As of Thursday or Friday, hadn't sold it.
I think that girl's so crazy. She just, ever since she's seen him, man, she has cannot stop talking about him.
Well, that's a pretty decent deal. I think it comes with two engines. I'm not 100% sure about that. There are spares, so.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That's junkyard heaven there.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. She said, so it survived. Yes, Brittany, it survived. You can buy it.
It's even got, you know, nice colors, pink and purple. So what the heck?
Pink and purple. I'm going to put on her. Yes, you can buy it.
Maybe that's why Jeff didn't drive it. He's a CHP officer. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that might be.
He's never going to live that down.
No, he's not going to live that down. That is so funny. Well, so next week, what do you got going next week?
That's a sprint car race. We were just talking about the California Racers Hall of Fame night.
Gotcha.
Gates open 5. Come on out. Racing starts at 7. The weather is supposed to cool down about 10, 15 degrees by next Saturday. So. Which means it's going to be like 91 or 92.
I was just going to say, but I didn't want to say nothing. But that's okay. You got ice cold beer.
Ice cold beer. They got ice cream for me. I'm happy.
That's right. Yeah, you can't drink. You're an announcer.
I don't drink much anyway. So.
Well, that's probably just as well. Yeah. Cheaper that way.
Got that right.
Well, I tell you what. So how long, I mean, how are you looking as far as championships? Are you in the middle of the season? Where are you at?
We're just past the halfway point.
Okay, so you got a ways to go.
Yeah. You know, in sprint cars, Damian Gardner, he's had a lot of bad luck lately, but he's still got a 100-point lead over the second-place car.
Does he really?
And from second back to fifth, it's fairly tight. That could change quite a bit. Those guys, second to fifth, is separated by, I want to say, about 40 or 50
Ooh.
Points. Where Damian is, I think, a little over 100 ahead.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like I say, he's had a lot of bad luck lately, and I just got to turn for him sooner or later. So when it does, everybody's going to be chasing him again.
Yeah. We need to set him up for another interview. We haven't talked to him in a while because he's a hoot.
He's hard to get to call on the show if you remember.
Yeah. Well, give me you email me a cell number. We'll get him.
Well, we got to get Brody on there too. Now Brody,
he won
the last two main events. The last one he won, that was at San Marino a week ago last night. He drove a 360 against the 410s and beat him.
Just shows you how good that guy is.
He's on fire right now, so we got to get him back on.
Yeah.
Get him on, he always manages to call in. So
yeah, he's really, really, really good. All right, buddy. Well, hey, go throw the ball to the dogs, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Always good talking to you, my friend. Go to the website, folks, ParisAutoSpeedway.com. You can see the schedule. You can buy tickets. And I guarantee you, if you go, you'll have the time of your life. Thanks, buddy.
You too. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back. My good buddy, Norm DeWitt. I haven't talked to him in a while. Hopefully, he's on the line. He is. And we're going to find out all about motorsports from a very interesting perspective on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. They can work on any car you have in the garage, and guess what? They'll throw it on a dyno to show you what they did. Go to CertifiedCarCare.net. CertifiedCarCare.net. Hey, we got our good buddy Norm DeWitt on the line, the motorsports guru. How you doing, buddy? Haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, it has been a while, Dave. I hope things have been treating you well.
Oh, everything's just hunky-dory, you know. Hope everything's going well for you, and you're sitting in an air-conditioned room.
I am sitting in an air-conditioned room with a fan on me. Even better. But, you know, I'm just down and having lunch with an old sailboat racing pal of mine.
So
time to shift back into car racing. So
cool.
There's been a lot of an interesting last few weeks.
Yeah. So why don't you fill us in?
Well, the highlights have probably been what's coming up in endurance racing in 2023 and 2024. All the manufacturers are lining up to each of them bring in prototypes. You've got Cadillac with a Dallara chassis prototype. You've got BMW with a similar separate program at Dallara. You've got Ferrari. I mean, the factory Ferrari coming. You've got Peugeot. You've got Toyota. You've got, I believe, Lamborghini. It is going to be absolutely insane.
So why do you think the factories all of a sudden now, and I mean all of a sudden, are jumping into motorsports?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with IMSA and Le Mans getting their act together. And since the failure, well, they called it a merger, but it was really the end of the road for the American Le Mans series.
Yeah.
For a while there, you could race cars at Le Mans and in the United States in our series, and you would basically be running the same car.
Mm-hmm.
And things started changing a lot a few years back when the big hybrid prototypes were running at Le Mans and everybody had different technologies, and it was probably just one of those periodic highlight periods of time at Le Mans where you had an amazing number of factories in the GT cars and the Porsche 919 and the big Toyota, the Nissan, the Audi. Everybody had different technologies. One of the diesel, turbo diesel with a carbon flywheel for energy recovery. Another one uses supercapacitor for energy recovery with a big honking normally aspirated V8. And then you had the V4 turbocharged lithium battery Porsche. Everything was completely different technologies. Well, this now it's going to be a hybrid power plant that everybody's developing on their own. And it's going to be a real interesting thing seeing who hits the magic equation. They're just legislating the total downforce. They don't care how you do it. And the Peugeot, it lacks a rear wing.
Mm.
They're getting all their downforce from the underbody and, of course, above the body, but not from a wing. It's just going to be a really another one of these golden era of Le Mans and endurance racing. And it really all starts with the 24 Hours of Daytona in 2023.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so excited. So I have to tell you really quick. So, you know, I don't know if I told you, but I read, you know, feverishly. I mean, anything automotive. So I was finished one book, and I was going to get a book. And I looked at my bookcase, and it said Carroll Shelby. I said, Carroll Shelby? I don't remember this book. So I pulled it out, opened up the cover. Written in 1965 by Carroll Shelby. And I went, wow. And I flipped a couple pages. It's autographed. I don't know where I got it. I mean, I know I've ran into him many a times and interviewed him. I don't know if he gave it. I don't know. So my wife...
Carroll was an interesting guy, man. He could sell ice to the Eskimo.
Isn't that the truth? So my wife sees it. So she goes in her office, comes in my office, says, put the book down. I go, what? Put the book down. What are you talking about? It's worth $1,900. I'm not putting this book down. Are you kidding? But it is so interesting because this was before he was anything. And it is such...
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Well,
Shelby Cobras out there. There was GT350.
No. But this was written... Yeah, but this was written.
4 Hours of Le Mans in 1959 for Aston Martin.
So yeah.
He's a somebody.
But I know, but I mean, the story, he goes all the way back to the chicken farm and, you know, the whole nine yards, getting into business. And God, it's such a phenomenal read. I mean, I had somebody say, hey, Dave, let's go to lunch. I said, no, I got a real important meeting. And it was me and my book.
The early days of the Trans Am series,
yeah.
You had those cars that were like, I forget, I don't know how it's pronounced, and say like the Terlingua race team.
Well, and he was in the Allards. He was in the Allards. He loved the Allards.
Well, these were pretty basic Mustangs that he was running in the Trans Am series in the real glory days when it was like Penske with Donahue and the Camaros and that sort of thing. And you know why it said Terlingua Racing on the side of the cars?
No.
Carroll had bought a bunch of worthless land in West Texas that was just nothing but rocks and rattlesnakes. And he wanted to get rid of it. So he tried to build, he called it Terlingua Ranch, and he tried to build this big mystique about the place so he could unload it. I mean, the guy was always
wheeling and dealing.
Salesman. Yeah. He was a salesman to the
extraordinaire. Yeah.
Gifted race car driver.
Unbelievable.
So never forget that.
I know. So with this new series, do you think you're going to see some young kids coming up out of the works, possibly becoming a star? And do you see any of the stars of today starting to wane away because of it?
My understanding is that Formula One is trying to make sure they don't schedule a conflict with the 24 Hours of Le Mans. I think you're going to see the best drivers in the world getting snapped up by these factories to drive, if nothing else, be the third driver at Le Mans.
I agree.
And it is going to be, I mean, and also next year being the 100th anniversary of the first 24 Hours of Le Mans, it should be something to remember.
Are you going to be there?
Well, I'm hoping to. You know, I was last there in 2019. We all know what happened in 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, yeah.
2022, all the flights are being canceled and everything else. And
sure.
I thought, this, you know, maybe not. But I really do want to go back in 2023.
Yeah, I've never been. I want to do that, and I want to do the Isle of Man.
Yeah, I did that in 2018, and it was an incredible year. It was beautiful weather. Yeah. We're track records in every class. But it's kind of a huge downside. I mean, Roz, this lady I know who has what we all call the secret garden, this house that's right at Ago's Leap, coming up the hill from from the bottom of Bray Hill. And they had a fatality there in a sidecar, in the first sidecar race. And then on the last day, they had a double fatality in her front yard on, in the sidecar race.
Ouch.
So it's a hard thing. It's an amazing thing, but it's a hard thing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. But, you know, everybody that runs it, they know it. You know, they know the chance they're taking, and, boy, they put it all out.
Yeah. But it's another thing to lose three people in your front yard.
Yeah.
So, but but the Isle of Man TT is the one, it's like the Targa Florio.
Yep.
See it while you can.
Yeah, well, exactly, because if you don't, you know, if you don't, and the other one is Bonneville. I almost went this year, but I couldn't put it together because I had to go cross country and pick up a vehicle from Kentucky. So I missed it, and it was just as well because it was like Ocean's 11 out there.
Oh, really? Yeah, I know it's been a challenge in recent years.
Totally flooded out. Totally. You know, so. All right, so what do you got coming up?
There's IndyCar. IndyCar's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah,
here at, I think it's the 9th, 10th, and 11th of September.
Yeah.
IndyCar at Laguna Seca. And that'll be, I think, the final race that decides the championship.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We've got us a real battle once again between Penske and Ganassi.
Yeah.
You got Power and Newgarden in the Penske cars, and you got Scott Dixon and Alex Palou, the defending champion, in the Ganassi cars.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to come down to one of those two guys. Those four guys.
It'll be interesting. Well, hey, man, I got to start bugging you more often. And are you doing any books, or are you still taking a break?
I'm still pulling in stories, but, you know, I'd like to do a Making It Faster 3 because,
right,
Lord knows, I have enough stories from, sadly, a lot of them from people whose stories can no longer be told.
I know. That's why I'm asking you, because they're not.
There was a lot of things, like Sterling Moss told me that nobody ever got right about the 1955 Mille Miglia when he won 99-point-something miles per hour.
Yeah.
How he developed his communication systems with Dennis Jenkinson and so many stories.
Sounds like a book, buddy. Hey, how do people get a hold of your books?
Making It Faster. Just go to enter Making It Faster to either makingitfaster.com or Making It Faster on Amazon, and
it'll
take you right there to my books.
All right, buddy. Great read, folks. If you've never read it, you have to try it. All right, buddy. I'll definitely give you a call down the road, and we'll do some more chatting.
Take care. Good to hear from you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, hey, Gun Owners Radio, right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.